I'm going to read Acts chapter 2, verses 42-47. و در تعلیمی که رسولان می‌دادند و در آیین خداوند و دعا با سایر ایمانداران مرتب شرکت می‌کردند. در ضمن در اثر معجزات زیادی که توسط رسولان به عمل می‌آمد، در دل همه ترسی توأم با احترام نسبت به خدا ایجاد شده بود. به این ترتیب تمام ایمانداران با هم بودند و هرچه داشتند با هم قسمت می‌کردند. ایشان دارایی‌های خود را می‌فروختند و بین فقرا تقسیم می‌نمودند و هر روز مرتب در خانه خدا با هم عبادت می‌کردند. در خانه‌ها برای شام خداوند جمع می‌شدند و با خوشحالی و شکرگزاری هرچه داشتند با هم می‌خوردند و خدا را سپاس می‌گفتند. اهالی شهر نیز به ایشان احترام می‌گذاشتند و خدا هر روز عده‌ای را نجات می‌داد و به جمع ایشان می‌افزود.
Well, as I begin this morning, I do want to say a huge thank you to you all. This church has been a very special place for me. It was, as I said earlier, the first church that I decided to attend without my parents, and it was the first church that I chose for myself. I was a youth leader here, a kids leader, and I ran the kids club for a while. I was given the chance to lead worship and even to preach here. I don't know that I'd have preached if I wasn't given such a loving and accepting audience to do that. This church encouraged me to go to Bible college. As we said earlier, they paid for my first 2 years for me. And I remember at the meeting where they were voting on that, somebody said, "What happens if we train Jenny and she goes elsewhere?" And the answer from the leadership was, "Well, this is a kingdom investment. We're doing this for the Church of God, not just for the Church of West Ryde." So a very selfless and beautiful act, and I do want to thank you for that. It was because I loved this place so much that James and I were actually married here. So we were saying to our girls on the way over here, this is where we got married. And there was the question, why wasn't I wearing my wedding dress? You'll be glad I'm not wearing my wedding dress. Well, I'm glad I'm not wearing my wedding dress. For me, West Ryde Church will always be my home, my family, and it is a real honour to be invited back here today. It's extra special to be here for your anniversary and to celebrate what a great ministry that West Ryde has had in its community and beyond. And I know you've been looking at Baptist Values, the Baptist Values Project over the last few weeks. We've been doing the same series at work at the Baptist Ministry Centre. It's great to focus on what we have in common, to remember that as a collection of churches, as God's people, we are Jesus-centred, that we value community, that we value mission, and we value freedom. And this morning we're going to build on that. We're going to look at the next step. You've just been discussing what it is that we believe. And today we're going to look at how those values shape what we are as a community. How those values change and shape how we do church. This morning's passage came at the very beginning of the Spirit-filled church. The church had existed for quite some time before that. But this is when the Holy Spirit had come down, when Pentecost had happened, and Peter explained to everyone what was going on, what was happening, and many believed in God. And we begin to see in these verses how those new believers lived out this new, more abundant faith. So let's spend some time looking at what church looked like for them. Firstly, they were a learning church. Acts chapter 2, verses 42, the beginning of it, tells us that the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. I want you to imagine for a second what it would be like if you had 3,000 people join your church all at once. It'd be pretty massive, right? Trying to make sure that people were connected in. That they were just trying to meet 3,000 people would be a little overwhelming, right? Explaining to them what it meant to have this faith, it would have been really crazy, I think. Can you imagine if even 100 people joined Westride Church overnight? How would you manage? What would you need to put in place in order for them to learn, to be discipled, to become part of the family here, to be connected in? Would you have enough seats? What about bulletins, communion, morning tea, all the things that we do for church? How would you add them to your email list for prayer and communication? And what else would we need to think about? I think it'd be difficult, but it would be a pretty awesome problem to have. And just like small children, they have that steep learning curve where they need to learn a lot really quickly. These new believers did too. They needed to learn a lot about what it was to be a follower of Jesus, and they were really keen to do that. They had been moved to accept Jesus, but now they wanted to know what it was to live for him, and they were hungry to learn everything they possibly could. So they spent their time learning from the apostles, learning just absolutely anything they could about Jesus. And the apostles were, not surprisingly, happy to teach them. They'd been preparing for this for 3 years. Jesus had been teaching them just for this moment in time. So they were a learning church, but they were also a loving church. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 tells us that they were committed to spending time in fellowship, so being with one another. They ate together, they lived life together, they shared what they had, and they loved one another. They were truly a family. Over the last few months in our country, we have gone through a lot, haven't we? We've had this extended drought for some years, and then I've seen a lot of arguments about it, but what I would say is the worst bushfire season we've ever had. And then extended rain, which ended up with flooding, sort of from dry to the... Yeah, it's been crazy. And now we're facing a health pandemic with the coronavirus. It has been a big hit on us as a country. And while that's been really hard for us all, I have loved seeing how people's hearts have gone out to those who are struggling. How people have given generously to those who have needed help. Even this last week, in the middle of the toilet paper crisis, a friend of mine posted on Facebook that they had completely run out of toilet paper, which is, you know, that's pretty valuable. That's a, yeah, big item right now. And she hadn't been able to find any anywhere in any shops. So she put a call out on Facebook asking for help. And a number of people responded, and she is now happily with toilet paper. So that's a good news story in the midst of it all. One of the things that I like most, though, about being part of the church is the love and support I see in God's family. James and I attend Camden Baptist Church, and we love that there. People love one another, we are family, and it's something that I really loved while I was here at Westride. This church sent me to college because they saw that God had called me, and they wanted to help me serve him better. Being part of God's family together makes us family. When we are open to God, when we love him, then we are better able to love others with his love. My experience of Westride was always one of knowing God's love when I hung out with his people. I see Chris and Karen regularly, and from what I hear of you all, I reckon this is still a church that spends time with each other, that loves each other, and from there loves your community. And it's that kind of love that allows people who don't know God to see him. Our love, God's love, we point to God with that. It's so often our love for each other and our community that leads people to Jesus. Certainly for the early church, their love for one another would have been obvious to their community. The way they loved one another, they spent time with each other, they ate together, they enjoyed one another's company. They shared what they had. They sold things. They you know, put it towards the communal work of the church. And that would have spoken really clearly of how these people were living in a new way, God's way. Jesus' followers were not forced to love one another or to share their belongings, just as we are not today. They did it because they loved God, and they gave out of the fullness of their love for him and for one another. They wanted to live the way they felt reflected God and his love. I think it's sometimes easier to talk about than it is to do, though. Because to treat our things as God's things can be really difficult. To be generous with our time, our belongings, our love, our patience, our lives is not easy. Yet following God means giving back every part of our lives to him. There is nothing that we are going to be able to hold back if we are going to be his obedient followers. And that leads to how we express our obedience, which is through being a worshipping church. Verse 42 reminds us that the church devoted themselves not only to fellowship, but also to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So not only did the believers share what they had and care for one another, they also met together in worship. Oops, sorry. Acts chapter 2, verse 46 says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. These are reminders that for the early church, worship was both something that they did in their homes, that is, eating together, which is, according to the original text, is probably both just a normal family meal, but also communion or the Lord's Supper. But also they met in the temple courts. Faith was both something that happened in their homes and also in the public world. And just because the Holy Spirit had come and they had a new understanding of what it was to be followers of God, it did not mean that they abandoned the temple. They continued to worship there, but they also enjoyed time in each other's homes where they explored this new aspect of their faith. And these verses also remind us that their faith was joyful. They met together with glad and sincere hearts. We know that one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is joy. Joy is something that comes from God, and it is an expression of how amazing life is when we live it with him. I was reading an article the other day about David from the Bible and how he was many different things. He was a poet, a shepherd, a warrior, a king, a musician, a man who made some pretty serious mistakes, actually, but who was also labelled a man after God's own heart. I think one thing that we, maybe I'm talking about me here, don't remember though about David is how he was so glad to see the Ark of God return to Jerusalem that he danced, and there's some argument about this, whether he was, yeah, you know what I mean, whether he was naked or just very close to it, but either way, he stripped down and danced in front of it. And it is a confronting image. This was the king of the land, and he danced with little or no clothing in honour of God. But David did this because he was so joyful. I'm not suggesting we get joyful in that way, trust me. But we should be overflowing with joy, should we not? And we should, like David, allow that just to flow through us. And that's what the early church was like. They were joyful, they were glad people. They enjoyed their time together and they took that joy with them when they went to the temple as well. I find this a bit of a challenge though. I love going to church. I love fellowshipping with God's people. But I'm not sure how often that I am purely joyful or if I see that kind of joy in others. Because I think to be really joyful means shedding our inhibitions. It means to be completely ourselves and not care what other people think. And I am not very good at that. I sometimes wonder if this is what is meant when we are told that we are to become like children in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Because we know that kids are not good at hiding their emotions or reactions the way that we adults are. They yell when they're angry. They laugh when something is funny. This morning they would not stand up to sing, and even though they knew that's what they were supposed to do. They whinge when they're hungry. They, you know, they yell when they're joyful. It would be great if we could be joyful, if we could let ourselves feel that joy, even if it's at times it might be a bit embarrassing. I'm not suggesting we go full David here, but let's be willing to be a bit silly sometimes, to feel joy and to show our joy. So the early church were also an evangelistic church. We have seen so far the early church were learning, they were loving, they were worshipping, because these are the things that the believers devoted themselves to. But these were largely things that happened within the church and within, you know, the meetings that they had together. And it would be easy to look at verse 42 and think that that explained everything that was going on for the church. But at the end of these verses is verse 47, which says, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." So the believers were not so caught up in the learning, the sharing and worshipping that they forgot to share who they were and what made them tick. This church had 3,000 people join in one day, and those people went on to invite others and to share Jesus with them. And then those people went on to talk to others and to share what Jesus meant to them. People were coming to faith daily. This is a sign of a church that is joyful and open, a church that is filled with God's love and is a family. This is a place where people belong. This is a sign of people who have God's Spirit living within them. I saw that you have a number of baptisms happening next week. That's a sign that your church is joyful, a sign that your church is a family, and a sign that your church is sharing God with your community. That's awesome. What a joy it is to see a church that is adding to their number daily. And what a heritage your church has. It has served as a light in your community for 96 years. And happily, it is not just West Ryde Community Church that sits alone. It's part of a wider movement of churches. In this instance of Baptist churches, I have to go rah, seeing I work there, who are also committed to these same values of learning about God, of loving Him and each other, and worshipping God together as groups and individually, and of sharing God with those around us, whether by words or by the very people that we are. Baptist churches are really good at going it alone because we are each autonomous, which is a really big word just to say that each church gets to make their own decisions about how the direction that they'll take and the kind of church they want to be. But sometimes I think as Baptists that we miss something when we forget what a blessing it is to be big in part of something that is bigger than our local church. Now, I know that I work for the Baptist Association, so I could be a little bit biased here, maybe just a bit. But I reckon belonging to a family of churches gives us just a bit of a glimpse of heaven. It reminds us that we belong to something bigger, a wider family, a family that may do things differently to us, may look different to us, and may use different languages and all kinds of things to us. But we're all striving after the one thing, aren't we? Yeah, to love God and to bring others to know Him in turn. This early church had seen God's Spirit at work. They had felt His Spirit. They had seen people overcome by this same Spirit. And they were excited. They were overwhelmed by this. They spent their time learning about Him, loving God and others, worshipping God and sharing Him. They shared what they had and they were joyful about it. There were new people joining them daily, and that, I think, would have added to their joy. There was a purity, something really uncomplicated about what they were doing that is really wonderful. Now, granted, I think they didn't have to worry about insurance and safe church health checks and all the other things that I think can really complicate our modern day life. Not bad things, but things that we're in a different world now. But I reckon that in the end, that maybe we do complicate what church needs to be sometimes. A great program, in my opinion anyway, is not going to draw people in as much as genuine people filled with God's love. For most people, a professionally run service is not as appealing, I think, as feeling the acceptance and love of God and others. And if we are here being joyful and loving one another, that is going to point really clearly to God. So happy anniversary, happy birthday, I should say, really. And I hope that you, as you look back, you rejoice in the amazing things that God has done here, the people who have served him faithfully, the people who have been raised up and serve God both here and in other places. I also hope that you will look to the future, because this is not the end of West Ryde. God has a lot more in store for this place, for his people. West Ryde Church is a place where I experience love, generosity, acceptance and encouragement, as well as having been given the opportunity to learn through doing. I hope and pray that it will continue to be a place where others experience that. And more than that, I hope and pray that our wider family of churches might be places where that happens. Let's pray. We thank you, God, for your word. Lord, it teaches us and equips us and encourages us. And we thank you for passages like this which remind us what it is to be your people and how it is that we are to shape your church. Lord God, I pray that not only West Ryde Church, but the church in Australia and beyond may be churches who are learning, churches who are learning about you and what it means to live in community, churches who are loving one another and loving those outside the church, people who are sharing what they have and are, people who are spending time in worship of you, both alone and as a community, and people who continue to share their faith, whether it's through the things they say or the people they are. We thank you for West Ryde Church, Lord, and the gift it has been to this community and beyond for 96 years, and we pray for at least another 96 more. We thank you for Chris and the leadership team, for the believers who gather here, Lord God. Bless them. May they know your strength. And as they continue to be the church that you would have them be, give them great confidence in that, Lord God. May they know your leading and your guidance. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. While our music team is coming up, I just want to say thank you to Jenny. It's a real privilege to have you be here this morning, and thanks for your message. It fits so well into where we are and what we're doing. It actually sounds like you would fit in well here now, 25 years.